So good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad for what the Lord's been speaking. And thank you, Lord, for your great fervent love for us. Thank you for taking such good care of us, Lord. We just say yes to you. We lift our hands. And we don't want anything but you. So we just do this, Lord. Thank you, Father. So what I wanted to share today has actually been a number of years in the making. And it started in recent years. It might have been 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know exactly. And there was a Sunday when Paul Brennan shared a message called The Parable of the Zucchini Bread. And that was a marker for me. I remember the Lord showed me this that Sunday. And if you haven't heard that message, it's awesome. Go get it. I think there was a pamphlet made out of it. And he really talks about the body of Christ and is applicable to what he does in your life and what he does in the body as a whole. And I'm not going to re-preach Paul's sermon. And he didn't pay me any money, but it's well worth it. So that particular Sunday, though, I think it was that Sunday, I remembered I opened the service. I had been out hiking on the Appalachian Trail praying and talking to the Lord, and there were some heavy things going on. And the Lord dropped in my heart something that might be considered light and frivolous. It was, consider the lilies, they toil not nor spin. And I opened the service and I sang it, you know, just as badly as I am singing it now, probably anyway. And I really believe that's what the Lord gave me, that I was all wound up and worked up. And he was like, hey, consider the lilies. And so I shared that. And as the service progressed, there were some other things shared. And I believe fully from the Lord. I mean, but what was shared was a very different tone. It was like, you know, possibly from where the person was at, I'm not sure, very firm at Lord, no matter what we're going through, and I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to hang on to you. We're going to praise you no matter what's going on because you're our God, you know. And so very, very good in the Lord, very scriptural, but really different. And so I got up here on my face as we were worshiping and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Did I miss it? I'm so sorry. I'm kind of out in left field. And the Lord gave me these words. And he gave me to speak. And then after I'm speaking them, it dawns on me what I'm speaking. Do you ever have that happen? He gives you words to speak? And then it's like after you speak them, it's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Well, it was based from John 16. This is verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And what the Lord just dropped into my heart after he gave me those words was, on any given Sunday when we come together, there are people who are travailing. They are in labor, if you will, and they're hurting. They're suffering. And what I give them to share may come from that perspective. And other people will be there. They've had the baby. They're happy. They're rejoicing. They're singing. They're bouncing off the walls. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. And you know, what the Lord just made clear to me, just because people, you know, that's scriptural. It says in James, is there anyone suffering? Let him pray. If there's anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. Right? So, you know, so he just dropped into my heart. Just because what you got from the Lord seems a little different from somebody else doesn't necessarily mean you've missed it. Now, I'm not saying don't use discernment, right? We are. You know, Lord, you know, that doesn't, you know, it's good to talk to him. It's good to ask him and say, is this okay, Lord? And he'll give you discernment and help you with it. And he also, you know, he may say, you know, like he does this with me. Like he'll say, if I'm not sure, he says, go talk to Paul. See, run it by him. See if what he thinks. One of the elders or not. And then anyway, so as that Sunday progressed, he dropped this phrase into my heart as an explanation of what was going on in this regards. And it's kind of the title to my message, if it had one. And it's called To the Choir Master. To the Choir Master. Have anybody remember that phrase? Have you read that phrase in the scripture? Okay, so if you read the Psalms, depending on the translation, slightly different wording, right? And I went through and counted in my Bible. As I was flipping the pages, I came up with 55 of the Psalms. So it's more than a third. Have that phrase in the title. It says, "To the choir master," you know, and I just the Lord was just the Holy Spirit. That the Lord is the choir master. He is the ultimate orchestra director, if you will, the ultimate choir director, and he directs things so that they're harmonious and they're beautiful, and he puts it together. And the and you just think about that. An orchestra, you can have talented musicians, wonderful instruments. And so you tell me, if they all play what they felt like at the same time, what do you get? A mess. Thank you. Chaos, noise, right? But when they play the part that's assigned to them and they follow the leader, what is it? What is it? Go ahead. Harmonious. It's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what the Lord just dropped in my heart. And the Hebrew phrase for, it's translated to the choir master, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's lamnatziach. And it means it's set from Strong's, it means to excel, chief musician, singer, overseer, set forward. And it comes from a primitive root, properly to glitter from afar. Thank you, Lord. And so the Lord has many instruments. He has many instruments in his body. And I just want to encourage you that, as the Lord gives you things, share them. If you walk with Jesus and you're in love with him for any length of time, I'm convinced of this. As you're walking in love, you're going to find, probably sooner or later, things are going to start bubbling up, part of me was like, why am I preaching this message to the fountain, Lord? This is preaching to the choir if I ever was to do that. I mean, talk about a body that, has Jesus as the Lord as the choir director and making beautiful things. But this is what he gave me, so I trust him that, So if you walk with the Lord, as you're walking in love, you'll feel these things coming up. You'll feel these things bubbling up, and the Lord will cause it to grow. And so a scripture that goes along with this that I really like is from Romans 15. It's Romans 15, 5-7. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And I like that the ESV uses that word. It says, grant you to live in such harmony with one another, like we've been discussing. Some translations, I think, say unity, right? And unity is good. I mean, sometimes you hear a choir singing, they're all singing the same note. It can be really awesome. But when you get harmony, that's really beautiful. That's so full, much fuller than just singing the one note together. And I believe that's what the Lord does in the body. He just doesn't make it one note. He's got many notes, and he makes them play together so that they're beautiful. Yeah. So this was an example that I found in the scripture from the Old Testament. It talks about ministering to the Lord, and it talks about music, and it talks about things happening. This is from 1 Chronicles 25, 1-8. We seem to be getting a lot of Chronicles last week and this week. David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who prophesied with lyres, with harps, and with cymbals. The list of those who did the work and of their duties was of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asherileah of the sons of Asaph under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shemiah, Habashiah, Mattathiah, 6 under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a lyre in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. The Lord brings forth prophetic, but just sometimes we're singing and worshiping the Lord, that's prophetic, and we're ministering to his name. And it says, verse 5, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, according to the promise of God to exalt him. For God had given Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. So the ladies are included. They were all under the direction of their father in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. The number of them along with their brothers who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. And I love that. It wasn't just, right? The elders in this fellowship, they are in ministry, but they are not just the only ministers in the house. And it says, right, the small, the great, the teacher and pupil alike. And so I'm going to repeat this theme a few times, I think, today. If you're like, you know, I'm not an elder. I haven't been saved that long. I know everybody here has been, but just in case. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. It's everybody, right? It's a whole body he's calling. He's calling the whole body. Yeah, that's right. And so the thought was, in God's choir, in God's orchestra, what kind of voices does he have? And so this is, I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 14. And if Lord willing, I'm going to work my way backwards a little bit here. So it's 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And so that's one of the instruments God has in the house. We've heard a lot of that this morning, and it's really good. I'm going to keep reading here. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And I know we've heard this before, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat it. This is what he's, you know, this is what it's for. It's for upbuilding, encouragement, consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Right? Built up. And I'm going to jump down to verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Right? And so that speaks to motive. Right? That speaks to motive. Our motive is to be building up the church. But to me, I mean, I admit, I can't fully wrap my head around this. But the Lord's going to help us in the right way with pure motives, where it says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit. Wow, eager, you know. And that leads to my next section here. So I'm going to get ahead of myself and not. Yeah, that made sense, right? Verse 29. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. And when I read that, God just struck me about, you know, and he convicted me in a good way, not a horrible bad way, but, you know, that I have spent a lot of years being immature in my thinking. You know, so first of all, what would be mature thinking? And this is what the Lord, I think, showed me. Mature thinking is this. You are in love with Jesus, and you're walking with him. And as you're walking with him in love down this journey, and he's teaching you his heart, he's going to start pointing out brothers and sisters, right? He's going to give you a word to share. And out of love for that brother and sister, out of love for the Lord, this is like, oh yeah, I want to share this. And he will. He'll give you this burning desire in your heart, as you know, to share this with them. And it's not a matter of my ministry or my calling, right? It's the Holy Spirit leading you. And he stirs this stuff in you. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I just, you know, it's good to remind us. And I know sometimes we preach these things. He's the Lord, why am I sharing this? You know, sometimes when he has us speak prophetically, it's and somebody here, I think one of the sisters, thank you, Jessica, one Sunday, many claim, hey, if the Lord's giving you something to say, just because they're not here, say it anyway, because the Lord hears, and he can do that word. You know, so the Lord is, I just really felt that as we're walking in love in the body, he's going to bring these things more and more. more than we've seen. Now, immature thinking. What is immature thinking? The Lord can never use me in the gifts. And this is one where I think I have stumbled. It's, Lord, I don't want to be proud. The scripture says that love is a more excellent way. And so, you know, I know I have a tendency to be proud. And so just to stay away from that, I don't want it. You know, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be humble and just use me in love, right? And, you know, the Lord, he can do just that. He can do that. But as we walk with the Lord, he knows your heart. And he will refine it. If it comes out that you have this urge to prophesy, and it's a little compulsive, and it's not all him, he'll refine that. He will work with you. Amen. He will teach you. Woo! He will fix you. So no matter where you are at in him, and I'm keying on prophecy, but I'm going to move to other things in a little bit here, because it's not just prophecy. I'm emphasizing because the scripture emphasizes it. But it's with any of the gifts or any of the things or callings God has on you, walk with him as he begins to show you things, you know, in reverence with the Lord. You know, go talk to a brother, go talk to the elders if need be. Say, hey, if the Lord put this in my heart, but walk with him. Walk with him. And the thing the Lord gave me was in this was the Lord loves people. He loves people out there. He loves people here in this body, right? He loves you. And because he loves people and he loves you, he stirs in some of his kids. I want you to go talk to them. I want you to go pray for them. It's not a pride thing. It's God's love coming through the body, right? That's how God shows his love. And so it's false humility to say, I don't want to be used by the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I don't want to. It's too tempting to be proud. You know, there is a temptation. There is. But Jesus paid for it all, including that part. And so the God who got you started can help you with those issues, right? And so he will. He'll refine your motives. If you find you're not walking in love in these things, you say, I'm sorry. And he'll put people in your life. Right, I have gotten some corrections in this area from the brethren here, and I am so thankful. Now, at the beginning, I wasn't. and the Lord and the brethren were patient still, and I haven't arrived. And, oh, that's one thing. If you think you've arrived, you're wrong. Wrong answer. You're never going to arrive. You're always going to walk with Jesus. You're always going to be in love with him. Right? You always need him. You're never going to get to the point where, oh, I know how to prophesy, God, we're good. Don't do that. Big bad news. Don't do that. Don't do that. And this is from verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. So there's some other things. These are some other voices in the choir, if you will. Yeah. These are some other instruments, yeah. Right? And not just prophecy, but it's a lesson, a revelation, you know, exhortation. Doesn't say that in this verse explicitly, but I think that's part of it. Let all things be done for building up. So that's our motivation. The Lord sends these things to build up the body. Yeah. And so, you know, if you feel, Lord, okay, I hear what he's saying, but I don't know what you want me to do. Take it before him and be patient. Don't tell him what he ought to, which way to move you. You know, yield yourself and say, hey, if you want to do something with me, and there's some other areas I'm going to get to. It's not just prophetic words. But you want to use me, you know, just show me, direct me, lead me. And he will. I really believe he will. And stay on the wheel. Keep walking with him. And be patient, because the Lord is patient. Right? Some things, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I thought, as I was thinking about this, Lord, this would be a scary thing to tell this crowd, because we're all a little older, right? I'm one of the younger ones here, and I'm turning 63 this month. But there were some things the Lord spoke over me as a young man in the 80s. And they were wonderful. And, you know, they really, from my perspective, now maybe from his perspective it was happening, okay? I'm not trying to sell him short. From my perspective, it didn't happen until, like, almost 30 years. I didn't see any sign of it. So I'm not telling you folks here, wait 30 years. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm not doing that. But be patient. He's patient. Because if he's spoken that, it will come to pass. It will. He will do it. Don't force it. Don't try to help him in the flesh. You'll know when it's him. Then you'll have some inklings. And again, if you're not sure, ask him for help. Go to an elder. Hey, this is what's going on. And so here's an example that came to mind in 2020. So during the height of COVID, and I was home that year. I was joining Zoom as best I could, but I was home. Ricky Iberia from Mexico, I'm probably mispronouncing his last name. Iberia, thank you. Thank you for that correction. He was here, and the sharing he made here was so awesome. And my paraphrase of it was that he was sharing how the Lord had gotten them started, and they're going in around Mexico. And he said, this thing kept coming up in my heart, right? And I would put it down and say, hey, it can't be the Lord. But it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away, you know? As I was walking with the Lord, see, it keeps popping up. And his encouragement to us was, if you've got that in your life and heart, right, trust the Lord to bring it to pass. And you could say, but there's too many obstacles in the way. And Ricky encourages us, well, think of all the obstacles the Lord has taken out of your way so far in your life. Right? Right? So don't sell them short. You know, you hang in there. Now, he didn't say, you go make it happen on your own. Okay? He didn't say that. And as he was saying that, you know, there were things in my heart then, still not fully come to fruition, that the Lord was stirring in my heart. And I'm there, yes, yes. And, you know, I just encourage you, be patient. If the Lord's done this with you, he's got things for you to do. Don't say I'm too old. Don't say anything like that. God could use me. Don't do that. He loves you, and he loves people. And because he loves you and the people, he wants to work through his body, right? Jesus could come down in his body and give people hugs, but usually he sends you and me. Usually he sends you and me. Right? And I will tell you this, as you begin to move out on these things, it'll be tested. And the Lord will use sometimes moving out in these things to refine you. And it's a good thing. In fact, you know, in the recent weeks, I've been reminded how the Lord has spoken to us this year about from Revelations about, you know, buy from me. That's a different sermon, but what's the difference between buying and asking, Lord? And it's not today. But he said, buy from me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment, and eye salve. And so the elders' meeting a week ago from this past Tuesday, the Lord had put some hard stuff in my heart, and I went. And I was all happy and joyful, and thank you, Lord, you've given some things in my heart to do. And I shared it with the elders, and they perused it. They gave me some good counsel on it. They gave me, you know, they weren't manipulative, but they were very open, receptive, very helpful. I felt great there. I was, like, so thankful for the family of God. And in the week plus that followed, it's like, Lord, where did you go? Hello? Hello? What did I do? What did I do wrong? I mean, I'm serious. I'm making light of it now. It was awful. It was like, I felt like I had sinned, I had erred, I had missed the Lord. And you know what? There probably was some me in there. There probably was some stuff that he wanted to refine. And I found myself, you know, at home group. And the guys from home group are probably sitting out there this morning saying, what is he doing up there after what he shared Wednesday? Because I brought it to home group Wednesday. I humbled myself and I said, this is what's going on. I don't know what I did. I'm not hearing from the Lord. And could you guys pray for me? And they did. And Thursday morning, I got up, it was my time with the Lord, and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't want a ministry. I don't want travel. I don't care. I want you. Right? I want you. And I meant it. And I really did. And I see this, the Lord's faith, you know, as he's using you, working through you. I hate the using you part. He's working through you, right? Jesus lives in you. Using you says, you know, I'm not really with you, but go do something for me. Well, I mean, and that's true. The scripture says to follow him. But in a way, he works through us, right? He, He works through us. I had this picture I love from the Song of Solomon. Who's this coming up from the desert, leaning on the arm of their beloved? And if you read the context of that, he's like, come on down to the desert with me. Let us work in the vineyard. We're working with him. Right? He doesn't have to, but he makes us partners with him. He lives in us. What an amazing thing, the holy God who created all things. Man, what an amazing thing. So after Thursday morning, did it all feel better? No, it didn't. I was headed up here Friday night in the car with my mom, the prayer and praise. And still feeling the same way. Like, Lord, I don't know where you are. I don't know what I did, right? And I'm not saying I'm sinless. And you know, no sense of the Lord's presence at all. In fact, almost the anti, like, I don't want to be there. You know, I'm embarrassed. You know, it's like the Lord's anointing's left me, those kind of thoughts. And I said, well, listen. And it was wild. I remember doing this. And I know you're out there. You're going to say, come on, that's just 101. I tell you, I think it's something in my heart that never, a foundation thing that never got set right as a young man. And it's going to sound so trivial. And yet, I think the Lord has fixed something for me. And that is, as we were driving up, and it wasn't emotional. I was just thinking about it. And I said, Lord, regardless of how I feel, what's going on, I know you didn't walk away from me because the scripture said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Now, it wasn't emotional. It wasn't like I got this rush from the Holy Spirit revelation. And I said, so given that, what should I do? I said, I think I'm just going to sit here and sing to you even if I don't feel nothing, because what else would I do with my time? So I just began to sing in the car. Mom is very patient. She listens to my terrible singing. Did I feel this euphoria? No, I did not. I just kept singing. What else would I do? I got nobody else, nowhere else to go. And as we pulled in here Friday night, there was one car here at 10 to 7. It was Peter's. And as soon as I saw his car, it was like, I knew. And I walked in the door, and Peter was here, and it was like, poof. And I said, okay. It's all, thank you, Lord. I don't fully understand what you did or why, but thank you. But he is faithful. And so, that was kind of a long tangent segue, but as you're walking with him, and you begin to step out with things, there will be resistance, and some of that will be the Lord refining you. You do have motive problems. You do have issues. And he wants to know, do you want him above all? Do you want him or do you want him? You know, that's going to happen, right? It's good. And you know what? It's a good thing. Thank the Lord that he does it, because he loves us. He does that. He loves us. He's holy, and he's, you know, I know we're sanctified in a general way, in a positional way, but it's practical. He works it out too. And it's a good thing. It's such a good thing. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So what other voices, what other instruments does God have in his house? And I know you guys all know this. Let's see. This is from, I'm going to go backwards now. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll start with verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And so it's not just the gifts is what I was seeing in this, right? I love verse 4. I know I've read this verse 4 and 5 and 6 before, but it really stuck out as I was preparing this, that, you know, the other voices, the other instruments in his choir, in his orchestra, it's the gifts, and it's the service he may have you do. And it is the activities, the things he'll have you do, right? And they're all really important things. They're all needed in the body, and he's using them all. I'm going to keep reading here. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And I know that in the scripture emphasizes prophecy. And yet these are, I remember thinking this, that, Lord, these are all gifts. Like when we pray for people for healing and miracles. I remember thinking this, like on a Friday night, that, Lord, you move with us in prophecy, and we speak in tongues. And yet that's not all you have in your body. You've got healing. You've got miracles. You've got faith. And I believe the Lord is going to bring those more and more. Again, as the Holy Spirit wills, as the Lord wants to. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then, and here's some more examples of voices or instruments in the body. This is from 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer, of course, is no. But these are all things that are in the body. The apostles, the prophets, and everything, teachers, miracles. These are all things in the body. And then he ends chapter 12, and we're familiar with this. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And we know that. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And we know that love is a more excellent way. But why is that? For 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And then I jump down to verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And so that is true. That is what the scripture says. It's more important. But having said that, and Paul does the same thing. He does a but having said that. So the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it reads, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest is love. And then he starts 1 Corinthians 14 saying, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And I will admit that I'm probably still a little immature in this, that pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I still am a little sheepish on that. Anyway, that's me. And the Lord's going to help us with this. So I think I'm reaching the end here of what I wanted to share and the Lord put on my heart today. So I think the net of what the Lord put on my heart, if I wanted to net it out, is as we walk in love with him, out of his love for people and for church, the church, and we know this, but he will give birth to gifts and callings and activities and things. You're going to, and I know it happens already. Again, I'm preaching to the choir, but I know, thank you, Lord, that he's going to stir in your heart things to do, right? And it will be decently in order. The scripture says that. I didn't read that verse, but it's in here. And it is decently, and it's in order. And it is in submission to one another. But having said that, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, he's the choir master. He's the one who's directing it. He's the one that's making it beautiful, beautiful harmony. And then I have a final question, and this is not a trick question, but it's a question for everybody. And what holds this is for the Bible scholars. And what holds everything together in perfect harmony? Does anybody know? Right, that's right. The answer is love. What holds everything together in perfect harmony? And this is from Colossians 3:14. And I know the context there is relations in the body, but I really believe it applies here too. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I love, again, the ESV. It uses that word harmony. I think some translations say use unity. And yet harmony is just so much richer, as the Lord does in his body. So, Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done for us in this body. I'm thankful for the beauty and the glory. I thank you for refining us. I thank you for shepherding us. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk in love with you and with each other, that you'd continue to make things harmonious and beautiful in Jesus beyond our wildest dreams, Lord, beyond what we could ask or think, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.